Headlines of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, celebrating over 55 years as an independent full-service agency featuring Erie insurance products, offering over 15 different types of insurance to cover every aspect of life. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can reach Bob Johnson Insurance at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX-4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Will prophecies be fulfilled when the cows come home? Well, we're not sure, but those waiting in line for gas in Russia, it certainly feels that way. People keep pouring gas on anti-Semitic hatred, while the sanctity of life is slowly dying. Scientists won't stop trying to be God, which is why we won't stop bringing you the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news, for Friday, July 10th, 2026. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with your friends. You can read the articles we talk about. And you can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you simply visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net. Or you can grab the Way Media app from our Apple App Store or Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who could take anything you say or do and use it in his next teaching, and that's Pastor Mark, who has learned we squint at the sun because it's bright, and we squint at people because they're not.
Yeah, and let me get back on my... I'm not going to use your stuff personally from the pulpit. If it is, nobody would ever know... I know that. I just want to get to say, like, people say that. They say, you're going to talk about me in the pulpit or whatever.
No. The worst thing is when they come up to you after the teaching and go, how did you know?
Yeah, that's right. Interesting.
How could you talk about me that way?
Every pastor's probably had that experience where somebody comes up and says, I can't believe you had mentioned my situation in the pulpit, and you realize you don't even know who they are.
Right.
And you're going, you know what? I think God just spoke to you. You better, whatever.
You might want to listen.
Whatever the issue is, you need to deal with it.
That's right. That's funny.
Oh.
All right. Well, before we get to our Israel articles, let's get to some Iran news that you'd like to update us on.
Yeah, I think it's good to do a quick update here, guys, just on Iran and what's happening. Because as you know, ceasefire, off, on. It's like a light switch. You know what's going on. It's officially off again, and we're bombing, and yet now we're making plans, and it's still on. He said today, the negotiations are still on, but the ceasefire is off. So either way, look, I think that everybody tried to warn the president. These guys, you can never trust them. It is literally their ideology to their very core. It's like asking a cat to be a dog or a dog to be a cat. Look, they're who they are. You cannot change them. And so they pretend to negotiate. The Quran tells them it's okay to lie to further their agenda. You're not going to get anywhere with people like that. But he tried. And he's tried and he's tried and he's tried and he's tried. And he's been burned so many times. I don't know. maybe he finally gets it. Because what they bank on, Greg, and they do this over and over, is they know that we have 4-year turnaround for president typically. And of course, it'll be this 4 years for him because he can't run again. But they realize we get to start over with the next guy. And they play the same game, and he tries to negotiate for 4 years, and then they start over with the next guy, and they keep on building bombs and attacking people and blowing up military sites. And it's this ongoing, just maddening thing. But I think that President Trump, maybe, with some of the rumblings and little articles I'm seeing popping up that I want to make our listeners aware of, he may finally be getting it and going, you know what? We have to play the short game. They play the long game. I have to play the short game. Why the short game? I've only got 4 years. I've only got, 2.5 left?
Yeah.
So I've got to play the short game, which means I've got to go in there and blow this place up. I don't know that he's going to, but they're saying, okay, look, I'm done with these guys. You can't negotiate. He hit them with, 90 different sites were hit in the last 2 days. And now they're saying it's time to go in. He said meetings are happening behind closed doors to decide what the best overall impact to settle this issue is in Iran. And to me, that's probably going to be, again, it may very well be knocking out their power stations, which this is why this is such a big deal. They haven't done that yet because it's going to impact the whole nation. And the president doesn't want
And that's what he doesn't want to do.
He doesn't want to hurt the people.
Exactly.
I think out of 90, they said out of about 90 million people in Iran now, they said only about 6 million of them follow the government.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but the problem is... They're
the ones with all the weapons.
They've got the guns.
Yeah.
And so, so that's why our founding fathers are smart enough to say, everybody gets to keep their gun. Nobody loses their gun. That was very, very wise of our founding fathers to put the Second Amendment in there, because this is what you see happen in countries when evil governments get in and the people don't have an ability to do anything. But with that said, so you don't want to hurt the people, but they are going to suffer. What's going to happen is it won't be necessarily deaths of people. It'll be like no electricity, no power for things. It's going to be like living almost like, you know, on the frontier. You're going to do a lot of things you couldn't. I'm sure they'll have gas. They'll have that kind of stuff to run machines, generators. It won't be that bad, but it's going to be really a mess for a long time. And what it'll do is it'll set them back. They're saying about 10 years on all their weapons building and nuclear stuff and all that, but it'll buy some time until you decide what to do. Now, if that happens, that lines up very good. If it doesn't happen, we know we're still going to see the end times event take place. But if it does happen, it lines up very good with, the end time scenario with Russia and Iran, because remember, Russia is going to be the beef behind this move. Russia and Iran are going to link together, but Russia is going to be the beef behind this. And the stage is being set in so many ways. Russia is really getting hit right now because of Ukraine. What Ukraine is doing is, well, let me get back to Iran. Iran will be more neutralized. They're going to go along and they're going to be a big part, and they're pushing for it because they hate them. It's going to be out of sheer hatred that they move against Israel. For Russia, I think there's going to be assets. And the Bible says that. I don't think it. The Bible says that. We're going in for the reward, right?
Yeah.
Well, get this. Ukraine, even though Ukraine can't defeat Russia, they're having a major impact on their oil industry, which they are. Their nation runs on. They're 60% oil industry nation, natural gas and oil. That's their main economy, okay?
And we're going to talk about that.
Yes, they are. But they're blowing up all their stuff and making it hard for them. So the lines are like, 18-hour long lines for gas or whatever. Here's what's going to happen. Russia is going to need more supply. And America, at the same time, Greg, is saying, you know what? President Trump is saying, we're going to pull out of our bases out of Europe. Because number one, you guys didn't help us. We need a place to land and take off. And you're not letting us land and take off on the sites that we built, put so much money into there. So why are we maintaining them and putting money into them, number one? Number two, we can't protect them appropriately from all these bombs coming in from Iran. So there's blowing up our bases because we don't have the stuff over there just to invest in protecting all those extra bases. So our bases aren't covered, so to speak.
Yeah.
So when we pull out of Europe, which has looked like we're going to do, when Russia gets more desperate because of the damage that Ukraine's doing with all their drones on their oil and gas sites and tankers and everything else, I mean, this is a perfect setup. And then with Iran neutralized, Russia would know we can now march right down into Israel and go get their natural gas and their oil and all the things that they have. We can march right down without interruption because America's military bases are gone and Europe can't stop us. Europe cannot stop a moving Russian army. You can hold them back. And if they all fought together, I'm not saying they couldn't fight against them to some degree, but if Russia decides we're going to move on down and head toward Israel, well, Europe's not going to stop them because they don't have the military power to stop them. And if America's not there, then America won't stop them. And then by the time that happens, we're going to be saying, you know, what are y'all doing? Doesn't look like we're helping any at all. And they're going to need the resources. So I believe you're seeing the setting of a weakened Iran, an angry Iran, a Russia that needs the supply that Israel has, an America that's not there to stop anything from happening. And by the time President Trump gets out, but it could happen at any moment, what's the next president going to be like? Listen, I told you, one of my fears is that J.D. Vance wins. He is not a friend of Israel. He is an enemy. He does not like Israel. And he is, I mean, again, I won't use the, again, there wasn't an official endorsement, but I mean, Joy Behar from The View gave her backing to him. I mean, and she's one of the most liberal, you know, anti-Trump people you can imagine, anti-conservative. So when you see these kind of things, you realize there's stuff going on behind the scenes with him we don't know about. He's definitely anti-Israel. And who knows who's going to be in there? I don't know what's going to happen. He may not stop anybody. And maybe somebody that's even a full-on liberal wins, excuse me. Liberal wins, and so then they don't care either way. But the stage is being set now, even more so, I think, for Ezekiel 38 and 39.
I don't remember how many years ago on this show that we talked about some historic agreements that were made between Russia and Iran.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of a military alliance.
Yeah.
And the point in what we were trying to emphasize in those stories was the fact that would be one of the ways in which Russia would get involved in the Ezekiel invasion is because of the military alliance that was made.
Yeah.
Almost like, you know, what we do with, if you go to war, I'll go to war with you, you know, vice versa, whatever. And however that was worked out. But yet, when the U.S. went and has been engaged in warfare with Iran, Russia, at least, you know, maybe helping behind the scenes with intelligence and things like that, but they're not engaging us militarily, coming to Iran's visible defense.
Yeah.
So what do you make of that in light of everything that we're just talking about and how we thought years ago those types of agreements would play and maybe will still play a part in the Ezekiel invasion?
They're afraid what Trump will do. That's the bottom line. There right now, if the president is attacking Iran, even if Russia thought we may be able to fight with America some, they don't want to pick a fight with us because they're going to get pounded as well, and then we're still going to pound Iran, and they're not ready. They're weakened right now. Their supply, all their stuff.
Well, because of all everything they've done with Ukraine.
Yeah. So listen, they're not going to. That's the reason they're not trying to come to the defense of Iran. And right now, Iran is not moving militarily against someone, and probably the agreement. No doubt, I haven't read it, but the agreement would be yes, we're going to stand with you if we can. Because, you know, if they just start attacking and lobbing bombs at America, whatever, that'd be foolish for Russia to join in and join them on that, because now they got a big problem, you know, and maybe they, or else they just deny doing it. I mean, look at NATO. NATO is supposed to be fighting with us.
Right. And they're not.
No, sorry. What does Spain say? We want to be neutral. Well, you're going to think neutral when all of our bases are gone and
for, that'll be a direct hit to their economies, by the way.
And yeah, you're right. And bombs, they're not neutral. You know, again, you say, you know, we'll remain neutral, want to stay out of it, this kind of thing. Well, you know, that'll be the day when you die. Anyway, so because you can't, you need to be protected. So I look at this, it's just foolish, but I think it's because, Greg, they don't want to mess with America right now. I think the reason China hasn't moved on Taiwan, they might even think, hey, we could give a black eye to America, but they realize, you know, we'd be giving them a lot bigger black eye. So if you can't win. I'm sorry, I just cleared my throat for you and hit the wrong button, and all of our listeners heard that. I apologize. Either way, but Greg, you heard me clear my throat.
Yes, I did.
On the radio and with the special button that lets you hear.
Yes.
Right? But, you know, you deserve that extra privilege. Anyway, I got something going on my throat today.
Staff privilege.
It is. But the bottom line is, look, everybody right now is too afraid. Everybody knows we can't just win against the other one. So we're all holding back. But if we get a weak president in, or a president that doesn't really want to fight against him, and they want to move, and they're going to move.
Well, and we know at some point there's going to be a scenario that's created where the U.S. is not going to come to Israel's
defense. That's exactly right. Nobody does. But see, this is what I love. Yeah. I can't wait to watch this happen, whether we're here on the earth or whether we're in heaven. I'm not saying I like war. Don't get me wrong. Against the enemy, against Satan and the demonic realm, I like war.
Yes.
And they're going to be the ones moving against Israel. But to watch God come in and all the nations, they're all saying, oh, we can't help you, Israel. We're so sorry. We can't help you. And God says, I mean, it says his nose, he'd be snorting and firing his face. He'd be like, I'll help you. Bam-o. I mean, I can't wait to see that. I'm being honest. I want to see Israel defended in power by God Almighty. It excites me.
Amen. right. This might excite some people. This is from Israel365news.com, dated June 30th. It's time. Red Heifer Organization is calling for a national temple movement. Pastor Mark, what does this mean?
Yes, the Hasidim bombers will be dropping red heifers all over the nation of Iran very shortly. Just cows falling from the sky.
Yes. Like the Chick-fil-A cows and the little parachutes at the arena.
Yes, there you go.
Arena.
They're going to be coming in and just all over. No, either way, yeah, this is interesting. We always hear the things about the red heifer, and I always want to remind everybody, don't get too excited about this because, again, there's nothing real serious yet, but we get these articles ever so often, and eventually they're going to need a red heifer. That is to start the sacrifices again. They have to get a perfect red heifer, and then they have to sacrifice it. There's all these conditions, and I'll hit a couple of them real quick. And then they can offer the sacrifices for the nation. So it is a big deal in the sense that we're leading toward the third temple, but whether or not there's really a red heifer that's even close, I don't know.
And maybe explain to the people that might be listening and don't even understand the purpose of the red heifer. It's not the cow being there in the presence of things. It's what they're going to use the remnants of the cow for.
So. Yeah, you burn. You sacrifice the heifer, and you take the ashes, and then the priests would cleanse themselves. They put the ashes in the water, and they do their ritual cleansing, and now they're ready to go and perform as priests. But listen to some of these requirements. I learned some stuff I did not know, and I'm going to spend a little bit more on this article. But a red heifer born last month in the hills of Galilee sired an imported American-born black-coated mother. The mother was black-coated, and an American donor was brought in to get the cow impregnated, has reignited a coordinated national campaign among rabbis, breeders, and educators to restore the laws of ritual purity to the Jewish people. The campaign arrives at a moment when public appetite for temple-related preparations appears to be surging. People get excited. They're talking more about the temple a lot.
Okay.
A recent survey found 55% of Israelis now support rebuilding the Holy Temple. That's over half the nation.
Great. Wow, that's
huge. Just a few years back, they didn't care.
Listen,
it has grown radically.
This is important prophetically, people.
Yes, yes. And listen to this. In the report published this week, the number of men already enrolled in service training right now currently for the temple is 150,000. Out of the planned 200,000 to keep it running around the clock all year long.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? It says, and I quote, "This is not a private event or a private issue," declared Yehuda Ben Zvi, head of the programming at the Mikdash Educational Center, in an interview with Joseph Good and Activa Ministries. The calf, he announced, is only one piece of a 6-point national strategy the organization has spent the past year building. Now, listen, so there's number one. The centerpiece, of course, is the new calf, discovered by a team member in the National Red Heifer Institute who works at the breeding farm there from the United States. He says it's fascinating enough. A beautiful red heifer was born around a month ago there in Israel. She was, funnily enough, he says, discovered by one of our team members from the National Red Heifer Institute rather than the normal just people that are there. He emphasized the unlikely genetics involved to make this happen. He said a red heifer born from a black Angus, which it was, which is pure from tip to toe, 100% pure, is very, very rare. The calf has been named Tamima, meaning whole or unblemished. We named her Tamima in a prayer that she will remain Tamim, whole, both
pure
in body and in redness of her coat. So again, the red coats, they're everywhere.
Yes.
Now, the second thing of the six components, it's harder to secure than the heifer itself, is a richly pure Kohen, a priest. I didn't realize that they had to get what the requirement was for them to have a richly pure Kohen. Get this. It says any Kohen today, at least a people in the synagogue, is considered a Kohen, but a pure Kohen or priest is nearly unheard of. Here's why. He has to be born outside of the hospital. He can have no contact ever with death, direct or indirect, any closeness to a dead body his whole life, whether by touch, can't go near a graveyard, can't go near a tomb, or near a hospital where someone has passed away. Even it says...
is that biblical or is that their tradition?
That is them. Look, they had one family they were raising. These families will raise these boys trying to protect them. They'll have the babies at home and keep them away from society, hoping one day they'll be a priest in the rebuilt third temple. And it says in the article, they had... I don't think this is included. It's not. I took it out because the article is so long. They had one family of four boys. And they drove by a hospital, and they realized afterwards, they just after they were grown, they've already disqualified all their boys. And they've been raising them to be these Kohanim.
That's like walking through a landmine.
It's like being Jewish under the law.
Wow.
Anyway, the third requirement is where the heifer has to be burned. Here's a problem. has to stand there facing the temple from the Mount of Olives, right? Well, the place they say that it happened, right now there's a church there. And so they're saying there's no way that church would ever let us sacrifice a heifer right there on their property to do this. So, again, as innovative as they are going to build on that side of the Temple Mount, over there in between the Mount of Olives, and you can see that in your mind, the Western Wall.
Yeah.
I mean, not the Western Wall, but the Eastern Wall. They're in
yeah, the
between
Hinnom
the Temple
Valley.
Mount and the Mount of Olives.
Right.
They're going to build a platform coming off the wall there and line it up with the hill so they can still, as a priest, facing the temple probably and sacrifice it there, and then they can meet the requirements in air quotes. Again, they know how to get around anything.
Yes, they do.
It's amazing. It's amazing what they do,
That's why they make good lawyers.
Yes. He says, however, three components is not enough. Now it has to be a national institute. The whole nation has to be a part of this. It has to be a national effort.
Wow.
Number four, but now they've got over 55% of the nation. So I guess you can consider that now a national effort if they did it. The fourth is the halakhic backing of a national consensus. So you have the national institute or effort, then a national consensus, which probably falls under, they're asking for 10 or more important selected dilemmas. It's an institute assembled by 20 rabbis devoted to resolving questions pertaining to the last 2,000 years because we hadn't been able to do this. So they got to answer anything. So if we're suddenly we're saying, okay, now we're going to all try to do this again. We're like, well, wait a minute. You in the back, you know, what about all of our family members for the last 2,000 years and our, you know, what about them? They couldn't do this. So they're working on answers about how somehow they're going to be okay to get into heaven even though they didn't do it. So remember we talked about the problem of the blood?
Yes.
They got to work all that out. Because now they want to start the blood. Once they get the blood going, they can say, we solved it. We've got the blood and the sacrifice. But what did you do 2,000 years up to that? Well, we have rabbis working on that one right now. And, you know, as they say, wherever there's one rabbi, there's three opinions.
Yes.
So they'll figure something out. And the fifth component, public awareness, built through media. That's letting everybody know about it. That's part of the process of getting this national consensus and all that. And the sixth, they have six components. The sixth component is funding. They need the money. And so, interesting, it's the number six, getting this thing going. That's not 666, but it is the number six, the number of man's efforts to try to please God, even symbolically here. They don't realize what they're doing, but interesting.
Wow. Well, interesting. And here's why this is so exciting. Not because we're into sacrifices or we're into the rebuilt temple, but what all of this means for us as Christians prophetically is the fact that the more clamor and fervor and effort the Jews make to reclaim that temple mount to be used for sacrifices to rebuild the temple will build up the friction on the temple mount that will necessitate the Antichrist to come on the scene to bring peace to the temple mount. And we will not know who he is as believers, which means we have to be raptured out of here.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what's so exciting about this for us as believers. It means now we get the view that you're looking for.
Yeah,
we get the drone view so we can watch everything from above.
And Greg, it looks to me like from Daniel that it's not going to be built till the mid-trib because it says they're going to get the agreement from the Antichrist. But then they're going to start the sacrifices, it says, for 220 days, which is about 6 months. And they said it will take them 4 to 6 months to build it. And then, of course, the Temple Mount will be. So it looks like that's kind of when it's going to be. But who knows? Either way, we're going to be out of here. But it's very exciting either way. And listen, something else for our listeners. Of those 20 rabbis that are going to answer these hard questions, one of them they have to answer is, who put the bot in the bot Shabbat Shabbat? That is something we've been waiting on for years and years and years. And only a rabbi can answer us.
We're going to find out what the Shabbat is good for.
Yes.
Later. But right now we need to find out what gas is good for in Russia, because according to MSN.com in this article dated July 4th, Russia's fuel crisis is so bad that a mom and her baby waited in line for 18 hours to get gas. And she asks, are we in the Soviet Union?
Or on Alcoa Highway.
Or on Alcoa Highway,
again, the people in this area will know what I mean by that. What is this big, long wait? Why are we sitting here forever? And those of you in California that are listening, it's worse for you guys. This is nothing compared to you guys. So our heart's with you. And I know that many of you have fled that wretched land and have come to the land of the home and the free and the brave. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I love California. They're having a hard time out there. Anyway, the fuel shortage ravaging Russia has forced motorists around the country to wait in endless lines to fill up, evoking memories of communist era privation. You know, Russia's bad enough. If it used to be worse, communism wise, either way, Ukraine's months long campaign of drone strikes on oil infrastructure deep inside Russian territory has forced refineries to shut down. Energy analysts have estimated that 25% or more of Russia's refining capacity has been taken offline by the attacks. The head of Russia's biggest oil company even called the damage to the refineries unprecedented, according to a letter to President Vladimir Putin that was leaked to the Russian newspaper Kommersant. And here's the bottom line. I saw they were showing videos. I mean, these drones, they're taking out their oil, their tankers, their sites. I mean, again, Russia, in essence, is winning the war in the long run on the ground and what they're doing with Ukraine. But Ukraine's winning the war against their economy right now. And this is another reason that, again, like I said, once we pull our things, our troops out of Europe, if we do that, and once Iran is further neutralized, if the president moves, like I think he probably will, who's going to stop Russia from coming on down and moving right on against Israel? And no one. And so, again, here we go. We're seeing, and they're going to go down there to get the oil and the gas. They need it.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, you know, when you were talking earlier about how NATO responded to our request for them to come and help us, it's like, oh, we want to remain neutral.
Yeah.
Okay, that speaks to a mindset. That speaks to what kind of heart does the leadership have? Do they have a heart of a lion?
Yeah.
Or a heart of someone who's scared?
Well, think about it. What if they're getting bombed over there and they ask for us for help and we say, well, we want to stay neutral?
Exactly. So my thought is that even if NATO figures out we've got to start defending ourselves and Germany and their $50 billion promise and all of these things, and they build themselves up, they won't have the courage to use the weapons that they've created because they had the heart of a coward and not
the
heart of a lion.
You're right. And the president rebuked them to their face on this last thing. I mean, you know, again, so there's the thing is, there's very few men left in Europe that are leaders, that are leaders and men. And President Trump, like him or not, he's a man. And again, you know, if you don't have a man who's in that sense of somebody really strong leading, you're going to be in trouble in this world, especially in the last days.
Yeah. All right. That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will magically become podcast episode number 423, which is easier to listen to than explaining to your parents how to unmute themselves on Zoom. And now,
you've got mail.
That's good.
All right, our first and only question this week, Pastor Mark, comes from April, who enjoys signs of the times north of us in Powell. As in the days of Noah is the title for her question. She says, when Matthew, speaking of chapter 24, verse 27, and Luke, chapter 17, verse 26, talk about the end times being like the days of Noah, could there be more incidents like it speaks of in Genesis 6, 4? In Daniel 2, 40 through 45, it talks about the kingdom in the last days, iron mixed with clay. The verse that got my attention was verse 43. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. Does this indicate that there could be more Nephilim on the horizon, as in the days of Noah?
Yeah, what a great question. And, you know, I think that it's possible. I'm going to answer more. I want to talk about this for a minute, but I do think it's possible, April. You know, it's interesting. You think about Genesis 6, and for those who don't know, maybe you do know, maybe you don't know, it speaks of, in those days, there were giants. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men, I mean, the Holy Spirit used very specific separation language there. He didn't say the sons of men and the sons of the daughters of men. He said the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and sons of God is a term used in the Old Testament for angels. And we know that there are fallen angels, and Nephilim is the word used there. And Nephilim means fallen ones. So the Holy Spirit, I think, is screaming at us going, yes, these are fallen angels. They have intermingled with mankind. And we do see in scripture that angels can take on human form, more than one instance of that in scripture. And so it would appear they had children together, which is a bizarre thought. And the result was giants. And really at that point, God said, hey, I'm going to go another 120 years on this earth. And then we're going to wipe it out in a flood and we're going to start over. And so, you know, I think a part of that may have been because the Nephilim and the genetic line had been so tainted, which is interesting. We've talked about before. I have an article from a science magazine saying they have found non-human DNA in the human DNA line. And since we know it's impossible for animal DNA to get into the human line, even as perverted as that would be, we know that happens. But it can't come into the DNA line. Only compatible beings could create a DNA line together, and there's some other line of DNA in there. Now, they ended the article saying they believe this proves aliens have interacted with man. They've come here and actually had relations and maybe had children. So they go that
route. That's what the Mormons believe, right, I think?
Well, not so much. The Mormons believe they can be their own God and have their own planet, okay. And then their God populates the planet.
Oh, gotcha.
So maybe in some sense somebody can see it that way, but it's still not the same.
Okay.
But either way, so you had the seed of these fallen angels intermingling with the seed of men, and you had these Nephilim. So, you know, April, you're right that it happened. And it does say in Daniel that the seed will intermingle. Some see that as very possibly a resurgence of fallen angels taking on human form and once again having relations with mankind, and then that's how the seed is intermingled. That is very possible. I'm not 100% sold on it yet, because it talks about the 10 toes as 10 kingdoms, which could be 10 regions, whatever it turns out to be. And it says that these 10 kingdoms are intermingled. So it sounds more like kingdoms with different viewpoints intermingled rather than just individuals intermingled. So I haven't settled that one yet for myself. But is it possible? Absolutely. And I know there are some teachers that I think are much better teachers than I am. Two of them I think right now in my mind that do believe it is the seed of these fallen angels intermingled with man. And we'll have to find out. But I tell you what a wild scenario. Can you imagine? The last days are going to be crazy enough. Can you imagine in the last days if we all of a sudden have these hybrid, half angel, half human like they had back then? And Greg, there are legends and myths about these giants that they find in ancient writings that people that passed on. I don't know if they found it, if it was protected through the flood in some kind of protected case, or if it was brought over by those on the flood and they wrote it down. We don't know where. I don't know the origin. It may be fake and nothing. But there are stories out there about men who used to be so big they could chase down, you know, antelope and catch them. And just right there, run them down and catch them and pick them up and cows and stuff. You're like, we're talking a massive person.
Right.
Now, again, I can't say that's for sure, and can you verify that? But there are those legends about this, and many people believe that the mythological gods, we know that it's demonic behind that. But many of them believe that the gods working through these fallen angels wanting to be worshipped, they took this position as these supernatural beings, as they were to a degree, and had people kind of, in a sense, worshiping them because they were so much bigger and greater and all this kind of stuff. And that's where a lot of the mythological gods come from, they say. They believe that possibly Zeus, Hermes, and all these were demons, these fallen angels who took those names on. And they had people, and so all these legends got passed down about, and they really do have some merit because they were actually just fallen angels, not gods in the sense they think, but greater than man, and obviously not God, like God Almighty. So who knows? We'll find out. But it is going to be, I'll tell you what, wild in the last days. And I think some of this UAP stuff and UFO stuff has a lot to do with this. I think you're going to see some of the demonic stuff coming in through that as well. And maybe the angelic activity of fallen angels. So keep your eyes open. Don't thumb a ride on a saucer. And anybody green, wait till the next bus comes along.
That's right. April, what a great question. Thank you so much for that. And if you've got a question like April, do what April did. She visited our website at thewaymedia.net, and she clicked on Signs of the Times and submitted her prophecy question. All right, as our show rolls on, we will roll right into some growing anti-Semitism. And boy, I'll tell you what, when the rhetoric gets bad enough, you end up with statements like this. This comes to us by way of allisraelnews.com, dated July 3rd. Turkey's foreign minister says the following. Israel has become a, quote-unquote, burden humanity can't bear.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
In other words,
teeny tiny little country.
They are a burden to the entire planet, right?
Wow.
Who would have thought that?
Listen
to what it says,
that?
Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples.
Wow.
So it's happening. Here's, we're watching in Zechariah 12. Right. This is why
because that's
say,
a drunken statement, is it? Not?
It is. It is. And here's the thing: you want to get the articles of today and the Bible side by side, and so you know what's going on. This is exactly what the Bible says will happen. This sentiment, as shocking as it sounds to us, is going to grow worldwide, and eventually everyone's going to say, they're a problem, let's go deal with them, and that's why probably nobody's going to help them when Russia and Iran begin to move on them, and that's when God's going to come in and say, no, you know what, you guys have a problem. These are my people, and I'm going to you know, wreak havoc right now. But Turkey's foreign minister continued a series of extremely hostile and anti-Semitic statements against Israel by Turkish officials on Thursday, dubbing the Jewish state a burden that humanity can no longer bear. Speaking to CNN Turk, I guess CNN Turk is their affiliation over there, Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan said, he's a confidant, said no matter which of you, which way you look at it, there is no perimeter to counter, to continue to bear these people. Listen to this. This is so amazing. That's just demonic.
Yes.
Israel is not only Turkey's problem. It's not only the President Erdogan's problem. These people have become the burden that humanity can no longer bear. Sounds like today's a Russia all over.
Yeah.
I mean, Germany, I'm sorry, World War II.
Yeah.
The human conscience cannot bear it. Political systems cannot sustain it. Economic systems cannot sustain it either. Everyone must step forward, take a diplomatic position, and impose the necessary sanctions on these people. He's saying they need to be wiped out. No one can sustain them. They should be done away with. Just amazing to me, exactly as the Bible says is going to happen. We are watching this happen before. You expect that out of places like Turkey, but this is going to be the world sentiment, Greg, very soon.
You know, it reminds me of Jesus's last Passover week.
Yeah.
And when, you know, here's this perfectly innocent man that a week prior where they were loving.
Yes.
And then at the end of the week, They were yelling, crucify him, and wanting to release Barabbas, which was a notorious murderer and insurrectionist.
Yeah.
And it's the same spirit, though.
Yeah, it is.
Behind
it doesn't change.
This, it doesn't change.
No, it's the same because this is a demonic battle. Listen, the Bible says our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against people.
Nope.
I know that our battle, but against powers and principalities. Yep. In heavenly places, they all think the same, do the same, fight the same, and it repeats over and over. It is demonic.
And our battle is not against a socialist-led California city, because according to Fox News, our next article, a socialist-led California city's clash over Israel and anti-Semitism offers a glimpse into the left's future.
Yeah. A California city has long been the hub of progressive politics, most of California, yes. Now appears to be a test of how the American left navigates issues of Israel and anti-Semitism. In Richmond, California, a city led by Democratic Socialist-aligned Mayor Eduardo Martinez. You killed his brother.
Yeah.
Discussions about housing, crime, and other local issues quickly became drowned out by discussions about Israel's war in Gaza following Hamas' October 7 attacks. The debate spread into the Bay Area, and Jewish leaders and residents said Martinez had crossed the line between the legitimate criticism of Israel and actual anti-Semitism or anti-Semitic rhetoric. In August 2025, Martinez participated in the People's Conference of Palestine in Detroit, where he wore a hat with an acronym that meant death, death to the IDF. The mayor also spoke at the conference where he compared himself to Palestinians, saying he understood the Palestinian struggle because he was bullied as a child himself.
Oh, my.
He's made a lot of outrageous accusations and shared a lot of conspiracies online, but at the moment, Bondi Beach was so horrific. It was such a gut punch to all of us to see the leader in the East Bay of an important city really blame that on us. We were grieving. And the Jewish community is going, look, we can't back this guy. But it's interesting, Greg, because he asked a question that I asked a while back when we had this thing downtown where they were trying to get this Palestinian thing passed.
Referendum,
in our city council. He's like, look, what does Israel have to do with our city here in California? Why are we attacking them? We need to worry about our roads and our schools and our, you know. And then I see down here they're trying to get our city council to condemn Israel. When we're saying, look, we need to worry about what's happening here in Knoxville. We're a city council. What are you doing? It just shows Satan on the move and the hatred of Israel and the spiritual and the demonic realm. It's amazing to watch. Our listeners should understand it. We understand it. If you don't think it's a spiritual battle, this should open your eyes. We are in a spiritual battle.
All right, our last article in this category comes to us from Breitbart.com, dated July 7th. House Democrat dismisses anti-Semitism in modern times because, quote-unquote, all the Jews are rich.
This in our new category for
that's
500.
Rich. Yes.
500. It's so new category for 500. It's, yeah, they're all, the Jews are all rich, so it's okay to be anti-Semitic. I mean, there's...
So that mean that, wow, that's just the level of ignorance. You can apply that to anyone, could you not? If someone has more money than you, then it's okay to hate them.
There you go. Isn't that the mindset of the socialism?
Yes, it is.
That's exactly
right. Yes, it is.
Representative Becca Balint said a fellow House Democrat dismissed concerns about anti-Semitism by claiming it is no longer a problem because all Jews are rich. Speaking to CNN, Balint said that the unnamed lawmaker made the remark during a bipartisan House anti-Semitic task force meeting. She recalled the incident after watching the footage of California State Senator Scott Wiener being forced out of the transgender rights event by protesters angry over his support for Israel, saying it reminded her of other examples of anti-Semitism she has encountered. Balint said the moment felt familiar. She compared it to people who dismiss homophobia before questioning her identity as a lesbian, people who accuse Jewish politicians of having dual loyalty, and the unnamed Democrat colleague who allegedly remarked, "I didn't really think there was any anti-Semitism anymore because all Jews are rich." That didn't even make sense. Let me think about that. How does it even make sense? I can't connect the dots on that one.
When you are spiritually blind, Pastor Mark, you know, anything will seem like it makes sense to you.
But what do you think to her?
I know, but that's what I mean.
There's no connection there.
No, but I think when your hatred is so deeply instilled, you'll use anything to keep that justification in place.
It really is amazing to see what people do just out of pure hatred and stuff. You're like, what in the world are you talking about? To me, it makes no sense whatsoever. I don't follow it even a little bit.
Yeah. Well, in the church, we're following a recent poll released by the Cultural Research Center. This is from crosswalk.com. In this recent poll, it shows less than 50% of quote-unquote born-again Christians, that's an important distinction to make, right, believe life is sacred. Less than 50% believe that life is sacred, yet they call themselves born-again Christians.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we have all these categories of Christian. And born again is one of the categories these surveys do. But if you're not born again...
How many categories are there in the Bible, Pastor Mark?
That's the point. There's only one. I mean, you're either born again and you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. There is no other category. Jesus said you must be born again or you can't enter the kingdom of God. So, but now that's statement number one. Statement number two, those who claim to be Christians, is it possible they really don't think that life is sacred? That life is made by God and set apart and protected? I find it shocking, but it says a groundbreaking new survey reveals a startling decline in core Christian beliefs among self-identified Christians, with less than half upholding the sanctity of human life and a vast majority embracing syncretism over biblical truth. We'll come back to syncretism in a moment. Do you believe that all life is sacred, it said, according to the American Worldview Inventory in the 26th survey conducted by the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, less than 50% of born-again Christians believe in the sanctity of human life. While the study is shocking, the Christian Post defines sanctity of life as the moral and religious belief that all human life is inherently sacred, holy, and possessed, and possesses an immeasurable worth. Now, before I even finish the article, here's what's sacred. Why it's sacred? The Bible says we were made in God's image, and He put a spirit within us. We have a soul that lives forever, a spirit that lives forever, rather. So, every baby born, God made and is sacred, and has an eternal spirit. And so every Christian should know that, understand that, and realize that God made these babies, and they're made in the image of God. And this is why Satan fights so much against babies and pushes abortion so much, because everything God loves, he hates. And he hates God, so if we're made in the image of God, then he hates us. So it makes sense from a spiritual standpoint, but again, at the same time, with merely 44% identifying as Christians, believing they will go to heaven when they die. Again, these are just those that identify as Christians.
Right.
But think about that. When people say, well, I'm a Christian, only 44% think they're going to heaven. I can associate. Look, I said I was a Christian for the first 25 years of my life, and I would have fought with you about it. But when I got saved, you know what I realized? I wasn't a Christian. I was deceived. I believed I was a Christian, And I claimed I was a Christian. I grew up in the South. I went to church like a Christian. The problem was I never gave my life to Jesus. I was never born again. So I would be this 44% here that say they don't even know if they're going to heaven. These are people that don't know Christ.
Right.
But those anyway, they identify as Christians. They believe they'll go to heaven when they die because they've repented of their sins and they've named Jesus their Savior. Here's the bottom line. Look, let me say, guys, believing that Jesus is your Savior and even died on a cross is not enough. You've got to believe he died for you. You've got to believe, as it says in John 1, and you've got to receive him as Lord and Savior. For those who believe and receive, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. The demons believe. You better believe they believe. They fear him. They know him. He made them. So if you are a believer, but you're not a receiver and you haven't become born again, you're really no different than a demon. In the sense, now maybe you're not doing demonic things, but in the sense of your eternal state, you're not going to go to heaven. So he says, so the question is, then one overarching question remains with that survey of 44%. Why are so many others not sure? Well, these guys don't sound sure either. The ACU researchers studied, clarified that, and I quote, the only people groups for which a majority view human life as sacred were people with a biblical worldview. Isn't that interesting? In other words, the people who knew their Bibles and viewed the world through the Bible said, yeah, babies are sacred. Why? Because God's word says that.
Yeah.
God's word says we've been made in God's image. We know that means we're sacred before God. So again, it makes sense that the groups that again have this biblical worldview are going to believe this. I'm going, what about the other Christians or those that are claiming they're Christians? They have a worldview. They don't have a Christian worldview.
Right.
It goes on and says the survey also found that 90% of American adults hold syncretism as their dominant worldview instead of biblical viewpoint. By definition, here's syncretism. It is the blending of the distinct, often contrary beliefs, cultures, and schools of thought to create one compiled system. Does that not describe the world today and their religions and even many in the church, Craig? The point is this. A little bit of Islam, a little bit of Buddha, a little bit of this, and we're all Christians. Can't we all come together and we are the world, this kind of thing, and get along? I see these bumper stickers.
Yes.
That have all the different religions on them, whatever. That's syncretism. It's saying, really, here's the bottom line. We really all are seeking the same God. No, we're not.
Yeah.
Our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I alone, it's me, and there is no other. These other gods, they have all different definitions. If you go read what they believe, it is very different from the God of the Bible.
You know, I think it's really interesting, the statement that's made in this article, self-identified Christians, because, you know, in Luke 9:23, you know, Jesus said you've got to die to self. And in this case, this self-identified Christian almost is like self-righteousness. But the thing is that for people that may think that they self-identify, then they need to read Romans 8:16 that says that his spirit bears witness with our spirit.
That's right.
That we are children of God. We don't determine that within ourselves that we are. God confirms that with us that we are. His spirit does that. So don't deceive yourself in thinking that you are. Know that you know that you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, I want to say this too before we go on. If you have a question right now, because what you just said, Greg, the Bible says that God's spirit bears witness with our spirit that we know him. So if you're going right now, well, I don't know for sure that I know him. I think I know him. I've grown up in church. I think I'm a Christian. I'm pretty sure. Listen.
You and I have that similar background.
That's right. If you're pretty sure you're a Christian, it means you're not. I'm going to shock you right now. I'm going to say it again. If you're pretty sure you're a Christian, you're not. Because the true believer has zero questions. It doesn't mean that you have all the answers. It doesn't mean you never have a moment of doubt about life or
issues.
Exactly, yes. But when I say you have all, what I mean is, God's spirit will now bear witness and let you know you're one of mine. And you know that. You just know. I know that I know him. I know I'm going to heaven. I have zero doubt. I have zero doubt I'm going to heaven. If you don't have zero doubt, I want you right now to receive the Lord. Matter of fact, we're going to pray right now because this may be a divine moment for some of you listening and you're pretty sure you're a Christian. With the pretty sure stuff's going to go out the window. Just roll the window down and get ready to throw it out as we pray together because you don't need to be pretty sure. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And here's what the Bible says. When Jesus died on the cross as God in human form, his blood washed all sins away, including yours. And yet he's waiting on you now to cash in on that. You've got to say, yes, I believe his blood was for me. And so you got to repent. You got to ask forgiveness of your sins. Then you have to turn from your sins And then you say, Lord, I receive you as Lord and Savior. So I want to lead you right now in the middle of the broadcast through a prayer on that, because I believe God's leading that. Somebody here, I think, is about to give their life to Christ. So if you want to do that and you want to know, and this is from your heart and not just your lips, not from your head, but from your heart, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I believe that you died for my sins on the cross. I believe your blood paid for my sin. And I believe you rose again 3 days later and are alive right now. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins by that blood price. That you'd wash it away. That you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I give my life to you, Lord, to follow you for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I think some of you gave your life to the Lord. Listen, if you did, call us here at Calvary Chapel. We have some materials here for you. We'd love to give you, to turn over, 865-609-1385, 865-609-1385. And we'd love to talk to you and give you some materials and invite you to Calvary Chapel or wherever you find your home church, but just to give you a place to go. Like I said, throw that unbelief out the window, that almost Christian, that pretty sure out the window, roll it back up and enjoy the air conditioning now because you're new in Christ and you live in a country where you can have air conditioning and free refills. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Mark.
Hello, is there anybody in there?
All right, we're going to go to the future, which is the present, through a website called futurism.com. This article is dated July 1st. Scientists build a fully synthetic life form that can eat and reproduce.
Yeah, it's called kids. No, I'm just kidding. No, just kidding. But no, this is pretty amazing.
That's funny.
This is pretty amazing because let me say this. Look, they're saying now they've created a life form. But before I even read this article, let me lay the groundwork and then point out something really interesting in this article. God creates life from nothing.
Yes.
The life they're creating is from what God has already created, which means man can't create life. No matter how hard we try, we have to take materials of what God has given us and maybe come up with something synthetic that can do these kind of things.
Right.
But only God gives life.
Not authentic.
Yes.
Synthetic. Yes.
Only God gives life. And we're going to see that the limits that man has on that as well that God doesn't have. Let me read some of this. Scientists claim that for the first time in history, they have constructed a synthetic cell that feeds, grows, and replicates just like a natural one out of a non-living chemical component. The team from the University of Minnesota says their spud cell is the first synthetic cell with a complete cell cycle, which can grow, replicate its genome, divide, and undergo selection and competition across multiple generations. The research is being hailed as a major breakthrough, could usher in a new biotech era defined by synthetic organisms that can be grown from scratch and programmed to complete specific functions. It's a futuristic approach that can open many doors for our efforts to solve a wide variety of human problems, from fighting cancer to capturing carbon. Here's a quote. We've replicated in chemistry what only used to be possible in biology. The complete set of behaviors of a cell, said team lead and University of Minnesota synthetic biologist Kate Adamola. It's a fun name to say. I like your last name, Kate Adamola. I'll have the salad with the Adamola dressing and the, I'm sorry, Kate Adamola, in a statement about the work. Here's what she said. Listen to this. This is amazing. I quote, it proves that the most fundamental functions of life, like growth and replication, do not need a mysterious magical spark. Now, I don't know what a reference is, but I'm going to say this.
Yes.
Scientists have recognized when the sperm and the egg come together of a human, when they come together, there's a flash of light. They can see it under the microscopes. I believe that's the moment the soul is created, the spirit. I think that's when God says, here's a soul, here's a person. They meet and it's done. That's why I believe from conception, they're a child all the way. And even before that, because God knew
right.
what was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But it says here, we're doing it, but we don't need that magical spark. We don't have that, but we can do it without that. Here's why. Mankind can't create an eternal soul. You might be able to create something that can crawl around and eat and take up space. Like I said, that college student that won't leave your basement. I'm not letting this go, Emily.
You're not letting this go, but I can tell you he will be leaving shortly.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, that's right.
But here's the thing. You'll see mankind mess with this kind of stuff and try to replicate. It reminds me of Pharaoh and Moses and the magicians.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yes.
You would see them. They could replicate certain things. And there was supernatural replication. There was supernatural power. It was demonic.
Yeah.
They were making their sticks turn into snakes. And they were doing this and doing that. But it was just, it was, again, God's power overwhelmed them. But it was interesting. They came to a point to where there was lice or whatever the insect was that was all over man when Moses struck the ground and did it. And Pharaoh said, you know, hey, my magicians can do that too, because they were imitating everything that he was doing. And they said, excuse me, Pharaoh, we need to talk. He said, what is it? He says, well, we can't do that. That is, that's life. We can replicate stuff that's already there. But we can't create life. That's the finger of God.
Mm.
And so it lines up with this. They can take what's already there and replicate it.
Even they noticed that.
Yeah. Wow. But you cannot replicate that. Again, I in Minnesota, that's where they had all those, I don't know whether or not this chemical agents will be fighting ICE in the streets. Remember, as they had all the fights there against ICE. I'm not sure if they'll be doing that.
Yes.
But again, it's interesting here. Whether or not they're going to be, again, advancing the automata salad with automata dressing. Either way, we know they cannot create life.
Okay. All right, well, here's some good news.
Fun.
Yes, we can.
Christians can have fun.
Yes, we can.
See?
All right, this is from crosswalk.com. This is really good news. If this is indeed true, which I'm not doubting that it is, but just, you know, I think this is great. A tarot card reader with 1 million followers becomes a Christian and deletes his content or her content. His content, I guess?
Yeah, isn't that so neat?
Or her.
It's a her in here. But this is so exciting because, again, this is one of those deals where you have somebody that's involved in the demonic realm. They suddenly get saved. They have all these followers. And they said, I've got to tell them. Everything's changed and all. And it reminds me when I gave my life to the Lord. I had to go to all my party buddies and let them know that I knew Christ now. This is the same kind of thing.
Same thing.
A well-known tarot card reader says she has become a Christian and decided to, which, by the way, tarot cards are demonic, and has deleted her tarot content, saying she could no longer reconcile it with her newfound faith in Jesus.
Wow.
Alex, known as Alex Reads Tarot, told followers that she had spent the past year growing in her faith before concluding that she could no longer practice tarot. And you say, why did it take a year? Listen, when you come to Christian, a new believer to the Lord, you don't know the Bible yet. It takes a while. She said she had deleted her tarot content, stepped away from her platform, and now wants to use her social media presence to point others to Christ. FaithWire reported. She has nearly 1 million social media followers. My guess is she's going to lose about 950,000 of them. Not to be discouraging. God will give her new followers.
I was going to say, God will replace what...
These guys aren't going to... They're there to read tarot cards.
Yeah.
I quote, I don't know exactly what comes next for me, but what I know is that Jesus Christ has saved my life, and I can no longer ignore the reality. I love this because God gives her time to share the gospel with them before they tune her out. In a 10-minute video posted to Instagram and TikTok, she announced that she had deleted all her tarot-related content and would no longer create videos centered on tarot readings. She said that internal struggle became impossible to dismiss, that internal struggle. I quote again, what started feeling as something that I couldn't quite explain began to grow into something that I couldn't quite ignore anymore. Alex said, if you told me a year ago I'd be making this video, I probably wouldn't have believed you. But one thing that I've come to realize is that life can gently shift in ways that we don't always see coming.
Hmm.
The more that I've prayed, the more that I've reflected and sought God, the more that I've realized that I couldn't ignore where this journey was leading me. And I know that some people may be disappointed by this decision, the demonic realm. Some people may be surprised, and others may have questions that I can't fully answer. And I do understand that, but I'm going to follow the Lord is really what she's saying. So what a great...
That's beautiful.
It really is. And so, again, I love how God, you know, takes people right out of the midst of the gutter. Again, I associate with this because God had to go there and just reach her and pull her. I don't know where she got saved, but God went and got her and pulled her out of that. I know for me, he just pulled me basically out of the clubs, but there were lots of seeds planted over the years, and he just saved me. I gave my life to the Lord in an apartment. I wasn't at church. I wasn't around anybody or friends. Maybe some of you gave your life to the Lord during this broadcast. Maybe driving in your cars. We just prayed a moment ago. But either way... that's the Lord is there for you. And if you didn't pray that prayer a moment ago and you do want to receive the Lord, you can still right now confess your sin and receive the Lord as Lord and Savior. And God will save you where you are. You know, if you pray in the car, please leave your eyes open. But besides that little guideline there, and I'm joking, but you give your life to the Lord. He loves you. We love you. We're here for you if you need us. And again, it seems kind of like especially with this last article and a moment ago, kind of an evangelistic type mm-hmm. day, which is a blessing. And excited to be a part of it. So again, we'll be keeping our eyes open on what's going on there in Iran. We'll get more information here soon. Just keep watching what's happening there. The good news is you guys are equipped. You know what's going to be happening. And so I can't wait almost till next week to jump into what we're going to be looking at and what's coming on the horizon.
You know, and we were real quickly before we end, when we were talking about the Red Heifer, why don't you give a quick plug for the next trip going to Israel?
Yes, we are going to Israel May 12th through the 22nd. We'll be leaving in 2027. If you'd like to go with us to Israel, then just go to our website. We have a place on the website there that has a banner for the Israel trip. If you don't find it for some reason, call us here, again, 865-609-1385, and we'll fix you up.
Or they should be able to go direct to inspiredtravel.com, correct?
Yes.
And search you that way as well.
It sends them to Inspired, but that's even a better way to do it. Inspired Travel in California, Inspired Travel. Ask them for the Calvary Chapel Knoxville trip. You can pay them directly because we're not taking the money anyway, and we will, God willing, we will go to Israel and study the Bible together and prophecy together and have a blast together in the Holy Land of seeking the Lord.
Amen. Pastor Mark, thank you. And thank you guys so much for joining us today. Don't forget our website at thewaymedia.net for all things Signs of the Times related, plus other content to keep you richly involved with Jesus. And we hope to see you back here next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn how the things happening today are pointing to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here next Friday.
WIAM LP 101.1 FM, Knoxville.